living with a narcissist can be difficult for anyone, but growing up in the care of a narcissist can affect your life in some pretty surprising ways. Most narcissists use a really pervasive sort of manipulation tactic called gaslighting, and you probably already know that that's pretty much the worst kind of manipulation because it messes with your head in ways you might never expect, especially when it comes from a parent.
Do you think it's a coincidence that a lot of people who were raised by narcissists end up with narcissists? Do you find it interesting that sometimes people who end up with narcissists don't even notice they were raised by narcissists until they end up with a narcissist? One of the things I hear most often from my clients is that whether they knew it before or they just realized it during our session, about 90% of them have at least one narcissistic parent or parent-type person in their lives growing up. So why is this? Why does this happen? I think one of the most important things that we have to realize as we're starting this conversation is that as individuals, we are raised by who we're raised by. We experience all different things in our lives, right? We have little bits of information coming from our teachers, our friends, our parents, our siblings, everyone in the world around us. Not just the people, but also the situations we're dealing with. If we were raised in poverty, that's going to affect the way we think. If we were raised spoiled rotten and we never needed for a thing in the world, well, that's going to affect the way we think. If our parents were hippies, if our parents were lazy, if they were possessive or controlling, all of those things are going to become part of who we are. As we grow up, we develop the ability and, in fact, the right, and I think the responsibility, to choose who we want to be. But before we become aware, before we wake up and we know that, we are quite literally, and even sometimes after we wake up and know that, we are quite literally the sum of our experiences. When you look at it from that perspective, we sort of, without even recognizing it, have a certain blueprint for ourselves, that we become exactly what we are sort of raised to be. Now, when we have a narcissistic parent in that mix, it really throws us off.
You probably spent most of your childhood thinking you weren't good enough.
When you got home, your dad was no longer Mr. Wonderful, and your mom, maybe she wasn't quite so kind, or she was very demanding, or she was very concerned about her image. You were the only one who really understood who they were. You were expected to be perfect instead of a child. You were expected to be strong. You were expected to be something that maybe you weren't. When you're raised by a narcissist, a lot of times you grow up feeling like something's wrong with you. And sometimes you might even recognize that your parents aren't like other parents, and maybe those people should get help and try to fix themselves. But the fact of the matter is that as a child, you know better than to request that your parents fix themselves. You know better than to actually request much of anything from your parents. Until you actually discover that there's such a thing as narcissism, you probably go around trying to fix yourself, don't you? Obviously, narcissists come in all shapes and sizes, race, culture, creed, religion. None of this is an issue. Nationality, what country they live in, how much money they make. Across the board, narcissists come out. Has nothing to do with any of that stuff. Has to do with who they are as a person and often how they were raised.
You probably also assumed that your mom was right about everything she said about you. You might have spent most of your childhood trying to get her approval, desperately seeking her validation, and always failing miserably. For me, and for many of us, this continued well into adulthood. Of course, many of us also actually internalize the toxic mother's image of ourselves, and often we do our best to attempt to become the person she wants us to be, even when that person isn't who we actually are. And of course, when that happens, we begin to fail. We start to think we're worthless.
So if we're being honest, part of the reason that we end up with narcissists is because we are people pleasers. And when we have been raised by a narcissist, if we don't become a narcissist, we tend to become the opposite of that, a people pleaser. Whether or not they're openly abusive, our narcissistic parents taught us that their needs, their desires, their wants, their standards were more important than our own, and we were required to somehow follow their rules. And if we didn't follow the rules and do what they wanted us to do, well, then we were inherently bad or unacceptable or, as always, not good enough. Sometimes we would end up becoming caregivers of our parents, where we, instead of getting the love that they needed to give to us or should have given to us, we would watch them and make sure they were okay, and we would, you know, take care of them, sort of almost like an extra parent. We would blame ourselves. We were consistently blaming ourselves, and if our father was anxious and stressed out and yelled at the whole family, it must be our fault somehow. If our parents got divorced, sometimes we would blame ourselves for that because it was easier for us to imagine that it must somehow be our fault and that we could try to do something to fix ourselves. And quite honestly, in some situations, our parents outright told us everything was our fault. Regardless of what your situation was, chances are you became a people pleaser and that you believed you were not good enough and that you also sort of were chronically blaming yourself for every single thing that went wrong in your life and your family's life. And in your desire to be loved as an individual person, you were also always trying to figure out exactly what you could do to make your parent love you. So maybe you thought, oh, if I was quieter, if I got better grades, if I took care of the dishes, if I did all the things I needed to do, if I did all the things that this person wants me to do, maybe I'll be good enough. Maybe they'll finally love me. And when that never happened, you just were persistently looking for love. And whether you admitted it to yourself or not, it was a thing.
I truly believe that invalidation is absolutely the most crushing part of having a narcissistic parent, because we grow up believing that we aren't worth loving, that we aren't the same as other people or as important as other people. It leaves us feeling confused and lost and doubting everything that we believe to be true. We don't trust our own feelings. I mean, how are we even supposed to know what we feel and whether we're accurately figuring it out if there's no one there to tell us? When you are dealing with a toxic mother who invalidates everything that you do, say, think, or feel, chances are your mother is going to make your life a little difficult. If you can't trust your own feelings, what do you have left? How do we know what we think we're feeling or if we're wrong or right in what we feel? And since the world tells us that our feelings are our guides and that we should listen to our intuition, what do we do when our intuition is broken? Every feeling, as it turns out, carries a really important little bit of information. And when we're taught not to trust our own feelings, we're kind of missing out on something huge that we need in our lives to function normally.
So how do you know if your parent is a narcissist? Well, let's jump right into the signs that you were raised by a narcissist. Number one, it would be fair to call you a people pleaser. You will bend over backwards to make someone happy, even if it means losing out yourself. And that might be because your narcissistic parent would trample all over you and maybe anyone else in your family to get what they want without really caring much about how anyone else felt in the situation, including you. This leads a lot of adult children to sort of do the opposite of that, to sort of overcorrect and sort of do the whole bending over backward thing to make everybody else happy. Maybe because they were raised by someone who constantly needed that from them, and maybe because they just watched that and they didn't like it. And on the same token, these same people were brought up being told their needs, their thoughts, their feelings, their beliefs didn't matter. And either way, people are now walking all over them simply because they don't even know what they need, and they certainly don't know how to express it. They can't believe that they matter. They are trying really hard to do the opposite of what their parent did, and in doing that, they end up getting walked all over. I have to admit that that was me for a long time, and I still sometimes have those moments where I struggle to stand up for myself. See, when you grow up with a narcissistic parent, you're made to feel like there's something really wrong with you if you have normal needs. You're made to feel like you're crazy or sick if you have normal concerns about things. Selfish, small, useless if you don't become the thing they expect you to be. Often, you find yourself even sort of cowering when it comes to authority figures or anybody who seems like they have any kind of hold over you for the same reason, because you grew up in a situation where the authority figure, your parent, or some other authority in your life, had the ability to smack you down and ruin your life in an instant, because that's how they needed it to be. For me, the best way to combat this was to learn as much as I could learn about this disorder, narcissistic personality disorder, and to learn how to identify those messages that I grew up with that weren't really my beliefs, my thoughts, my feelings, those messages that were dysfunctional, and then to actively start working against them. Now, this brings me to number two. We're going to talk about your siblings at this point, if you had any. If you didn't have siblings, maybe it was some other child or even an adult or in some cases a pet. Narcissistic parents have this way of playing you against someone else in your life very often if you have your siblings, one of your siblings. I've talked before about the family that I knew that the mother had two daughters, and each daughter was alternatively the golden child and the scapegoat. And this is common for narcissistic parents. They have trouble with personal boundaries. They view other people, including their children, and often especially their children, as extensions of themselves, not as whole people. They require the most attention. They require all of the praise, the supply, as it were. And what happens is the parent will pick one child or person to be the golden child, and that child will be lifted up. But in addition to getting all the praise and all the positive attention from the parent, the child also is expected to be perfect and has no room for being human. The other child then is the scapegoat child, the one that gets all the blame, never does anything right, is constantly in trouble. And like I said, these roles can alternate between kids and families. Sadly enough, if the roles remain pretty consistent throughout their childhoods, you will experience kids who had two entirely different childhoods in the same house. Any of that sound familiar? Not only that, but you'll be incredibly competitive with your sibling, whether you want to or not. You will always feel like everything you do is being compared to that other sibling. And that's the case, especially for the scapegoat, but even for the golden child, because in some cases, the scapegoat, you know, despite the abuse, often rises up above the golden child because the golden child has this really twisted idea of how good they really are, or they have this sometimes rebellion against what they are. And so they kind of fall. You end up being compared to the other sibling, if that's the case in your family. Any of that sound familiar? If you happen to be the golden child in this equation, you might resent your sibling because they were under less pressure than you. But also, if you were the scapegoat child, you might resent your sibling because they got more attention and apparent love than you. Either way, you have to understand that your narcissistic parent probably intentionally put you up against each other, partially so that you couldn't be closer to one another than to them. It's all about serving their own needs. It has nothing to do with either of you, and it's not your fault. The best thing that you can do is to reach out to your sibling or to the other person in this situation and explain what you've learned and see if you can work something out. If you can't, just move forward and try to do the best you can from here on out. The good news is that in certain ways, this could actually work to your benefit because you could end up really bonding with your sibling over this shared negative experience, and you could sort of rebuild the family that you no longer have as a result of it. Number three, sometimes you feel like there's more going on than should be going on with your parent. Like when you were growing up, you might have often had to act as your parent's caregiver or their partner, when really they should have been acting as your caregiver. The thing is, not all narcissists grab the spotlight with their sparkly personalities. Some of them get it by playing the victim role and acting like their problems are the worst, acting like they can't function because of how terrible their lives are. On a side note, this also leads those of us who were raised by narcissists to come on out and go, everything's cool, to not complain at all, in some cases even when we should. Narcissists have this way of trying to control other people in whatever way seems to work for them. And if in the past they've done this by threatening to hurt themselves or by acting like they're going to die, guess what they're going to do? They're going to keep playing that stuff over and over again. If you had a parent like this type of narcissist, you might have felt like your whole entire childhood was spent saving your parent, putting out fires and maintaining the peace in the house. You might have been the peacemaker between your parents or between your parent and your other sibling or your parents and everybody else in the world. It's a burden. Some of my male clients have said to me that they had to act sort of like their mother's husbands almost, especially when their fathers died, and vice versa for my female clients, acting like their father's wives or even their mother's wives while they were cooking and cleaning. They were doing all the housework. The boys had to sort of save their moms from the big light bulb. And I'm not going to lie to you. I asked my son to change light bulbs. He's taller than me, but I'm not acting like my life's going to end if he doesn't do it. And I'm going to be really straight up with you. Sometimes it takes him 3 days. Sometimes I just climb on a ladder and do it myself. The point is, parents who are narcissists make their children feel like they have to take care of them sometimes if they're this type of narcissist. If it's more of the out there overt type of narcissist, then that parent might make the child feel scared because they're angry if they don't do what they want all the time. Some people feel like it was their job to keep their father or their mother from getting angry at the family. It's really all about that sense of drama that as a kid you thought you had to keep everything calm and managed in the home. That's a sign. How do you deal with this one? Well, this one is a big deal here. You want to take the time to manage that. You want to acknowledge that inner child within yourself. Ask them what they need. Ask them what they needed that they didn't get. What do they still need that they didn't get? Acknowledge the emotional needs of yourself and that child that you once were. Acknowledge that those needs were not met by your parents. Number four, you base your value on whether or not your parent or some person in your life thinks you're doing the right stuff. Or you have certain performance-based objectives in your life. Maybe you became a doctor because that's what your mother wanted, or maybe you didn't become a doctor and because of that, you think you're not good enough because your father always said to you that you should be a doctor. Maybe you have feel like you have to always be on, or you have to be performing, or you have to be the family advocate, or whatever. You may or may not have low self-esteem, but chances are that you might, even if you don't realize it. You might be a workaholic because work is the only thing that ever gave you any sort of reward. When you learn something that you can produce and share with the world, a lot of times you completely dig into that. You become a little bit more detached, a little bit more self-contained than your parent in this effort to achieve. So chances are you're either going to be a high achiever or you're going to say, I'm not good enough, and so I'm not going to try at all. Number 5, another way you can tell that you have been raised by a narcissist is that you don't have a really strong sense of yourself. What do I mean by that? Well, maybe you found yourself in a career that you didn't really choose. You kind of just fell into it. Maybe you felt like you never really were sure what you wanted in your life. And maybe you felt like you were supposed to grow up and be what your parents told you to be or what your mother or father was because that's what they told you was the right thing to do. Maybe you felt like you had to jump into the family business or something like that. If this is the case and you're still not sure how to handle it because you feel like you're still being sort of directed by your parent as an adult, what are your options? Number 1, you can learn how to gray rock them and try to just deal with them. Number 2, you can totally go low contact or no contact if that's something you feel like you can do. Thing is, most narcissistic parents will never admit or acknowledge that they did a whole lot of things wrong. And if or when they do, it comes out like, oh yeah, you had such a terrible childhood, didn't you? Or I did my best, poor me, how dare you say anything else? Or something along those lines. Sarcasm, anger, or the victim role, one of those things. Or how could you possibly say that? I was the best mother in town, everybody said so, or whatever. The parent is likely to deny any sort of problem with themselves, and if they do see anything wrong with themselves, they're probably going to have some sort of justifiable reason to have had the problems, such as, well, your father left me, or your mother was a drunk, or my job was terrible, or something, some excuse, someone else or something else to blame for the trouble. What it all comes down to is that if you had a narcissistic parent, chances are they did not have empathy for you. So if you are a parent yourself, or if you're thinking about becoming one, and you want to avoid making your child a narcissist, teach them how to care what people think and feel. Teach them to care how people feel, not just care, but to understand. You can start this at the smallest of ages. As soon as they can speak, they learn that a smile means happy and a frown means sad. As they get older, as they're 5 and 6 years old, you can say to them, how did you feel when this happened to you? You teach them to identify their own emotions. And if you want to teach, you know, an 11 or a 12-year-old empathy, you ask them, how do you think it made that person feel when you said or did this thing? Or when this person on TV said or did this thing? And as they get older, you just remind them to have empathy, to care how other people feel, but not to allow other people to walk all over them. You have to understand, you are not responsible for your parents' abuse. As survivors of this type of abuse, we very often blame ourselves for everything that has gone wrong in our lives, and we look for ways to make ourselves better, which in many ways seems to be the only thing that makes sense to us because our parents teach us that they're perfect or that they're near infallible, or if they are fallible, then it's our fault somehow. And maybe it just has more to do with the fact that we need to maintain hope. We need to believe that things are going to get better. And so if we can stay focused on how we can fix ourselves or what we could be doing better, maybe it's a little bit of how we survive. With that being said, I think it's important to talk about one more major quality that happens to kids who are raised by narcissists, and that is insecure attachment. So first, I think it's important to define secure attachment, and that is our level of comfort with being attached to other people and trusting that that attachment is safe and okay for us. Dealing with having been abused or neglected or ignored, or dealing with, you know, an emotionally absent parent or a parent who didn't take care of us in some way, very often leaves us kind of flapping in the wind in our parent-child relationship. So when we go and we think about as adults getting into relationships with new people, other people, we are insecurely attached. We don't trust that attachment. So a couple of different things can happen. Either we can become the sort of people who refuse to connect to anyone and who just absolutely don't attach to people at all and who just kind of a lone wolf type of person, or we can go the other direction where we get someone, we attach to them, and we're like, nope, I'm not letting go of you. I'm holding on to you forever and ever and ever. This can actually go really, really far in the wrong direction if you're not careful. But one of those two things is happening. Either we're going to become avoidant of any sort of personal emotional connection, we're going to refuse to attach, that's called avoidant attachment, or we're going to be so excessively upset, nervous, anxious about it that we're going to do the anxious attachment thing where we're going to just constantly be chasing love, chasing love, chasing love. One of my favorite movies was called Practical Magic, and these two sisters, they lost their parents, okay? They were raised by these two aunts. And in the movie, they're watching their two aunts from the stairs, you know, do some magic spell on some lady who's desperate to get this man back. And one of the sisters goes, I hope I never fall in love. She can't even imagine the horribleness of that moment. Why anybody would want to feel like that? Because this woman was feeling very desperate to get this man who wasn't available to her. And the other sister goes, oh, I can't wait to fall in love. See, so one sister was doing the avoidant, I don't ever want to be with somebody thing. And the other one was like, oh my gosh, I'm chasing love. That thing happens to us. So as we grow, as we move forward, as we seek new relationships, this becomes a problem for us. Whether you go with the avoidant attachment or you go with the anxious attachment, it's not going to serve you well in relationships.
I recently happened to come across a series of poems that was written by a 15-year-old girl who also happened to be the daughter of a narcissist. And while they might seem a little angsty and very immature, these poems offer some insight. This person's experiences, her emotions, the stuff she goes through, the stuff she talks about as she navigates the waters of being the daughter of a toxic mother, it's pretty significant. I want to share them with you today in an effort to kind of show you, without question, exactly what goes on inside the head of the daughter of a narcissistic mother. And if I'm being really honest, I really want to be able to finally give this girl a voice, one that she should have always had, but one that was denied her for so many years, and really touch on what it is that makes us who we are when this happens to us in our lives. Maybe you're going to relate because you are the child of a narcissist, or maybe you'll relate because your child is the child of a narcissist. Maybe you want to know how to make your kids feel better or how to protect them from their narcissistic parent. Maybe you just want a little insight into the mind of a daughter growing up with a narcissistic mother. Whatever it is that you're looking for, stick with me because I think you'll be pretty surprised at the types of insights we can gain from these poems today. Don't worry, they're not long. Let's just take a look at them, shall we? The first one is called Family. Tears fall from my eyes. I care not to claim my family ties. They hold me down. They let me out a bit, but then pull me back again, only to find things worse. The others, they've got it so good, but they don't know it. They don't live with me. I wonder why they try to make it seem so bad. Why do they try? This poem seems to point to the pretty obvious toxic family dynamic this person has going on in her life. She feels oppressed. She feels invisible in her own family. She feels jealous of her friends who have normal families, parents who actually seem to care about them in ways that her own parents don't. The next poem is called Enemy. The world is your enemy, my child. Believe not what they tell you. When they tell you that they love you, they lie. The world is your enemy, my child. They care not about you. They only want what you have to give. The world, my child, is your enemy. This poem seems to point to the perspective of the world that this 15-year-old child has developed up to this point in her life. She clearly doesn't trust her primary caregiver, and this leads her to doubt everyone in the world, and most especially herself. She feels unsafe in the world because, if we're being honest, up to now, everyone in her life has left her feeling lost, abandoned, alone, and, to be honest, not good enough. She feels like she needs to be completely self-reliant, and yet she doesn't feel that she can count on herself. Just a glimpse into the future, this kid, ironically, less than 10 years later, would find herself married to a narcissist as well. That's more common than you think. The next poem is untitled. Trust no one. You have no one to trust. The world is a liar. It won't stay faithful. Lies only hurt more than truth. Actions speak. Where to turn? I am lost. I have no one to confide in. I shall soon be a flat little pile of emotion with no purpose to life except to be sick and in pain. I am dying. I am going now to speed up the process. Yes, angst for sure. And clearly the dark sentiment of this child continue in this poem, which she wrote immediately after a betrayal by her toxic mother. She clearly feels alone and she seems to be in gut-wrenching emotional pain here. She feels completely destroyed and feels like she's living in hell at the hands of a completely unempathetic mother from whom she cannot escape. The next poem is called Love. Love? Confidence slain by harsh words, I cry. I know not what to do. She hurts me, but then expects love and respect. She only receives deep resent and hatred and death wishes. Death should be granted to the lonely, the miserable, and the mothers. Hell is for me. What this girl is touching on here is the toxic parenting she has been exposed to up to this point. She talks about how she's been humiliated and emotionally devastated by her toxic mother's behavior in public, the way she chooses to discipline her. She feels oppressed and also silenced. And she's reliving the trauma of having been called out in a public way by the narcissist. She painfully remembers the way everyone's face looked as they stared at her while her mother dressed her down in front of them. The looks of pity, the looks of disgust. She silently begs for peace, as she clearly begins to recognize that the type of love she was getting from her narcissistic mother wasn't love at all. That isn't real love. It's toxic. And here she is at 15 years old, starting to recognize that. And yet she also feels like she can't get away from it. She can't escape it unless she ends her own life. It's very sad. The next poem is called Alone. Leave. I beg you silently, leave me alone. I do not want your love or affection. I want you to leave me alone. Your kind of love is not the kind of love I need. Humiliation is not a good teacher. The names, the faces, the feelings garbled up with you, to me, spells suicide. Please, I beg of you, leave me alone. In this poem, the author is talking about the way that she feels after having been emotionally abused for so long by her mother. And she is making it really clear exactly what that feels like to her. And clearly, she once again sort of alludes to the fact that she feels like suicide is the only out for her. It's very unhealthy. The final poem we're going to touch on today is called It Is Depression. It is depression when it hurts to smile. She makes me cry with just a look. She hates me. Why does she keep me around if she hates me? It is depression when you know that your own mother hates you. I carry this weight that I do not need. It is depression when you have no willpower. It is depression when you are me. I am depression. In this poem, clearly the author is expressing her pain. She's talking about what emotional hell she's living in at that moment. This is a deep situational depression where she's not functioning on any sort of healthy level at all. This is a direct result of the abuse that she's been experiencing at the hands of her narcissistic mother. In the poem, she's describing exactly how her mother makes her feel, how her mother can just look at her and make her cry. And she makes it clear that she feels like her own mother hates her. She feels the psychological weight of this oppression, and she's angry at herself for not being able to stand up for herself. Does any of this ring true for you? Have you experienced these types of emotions in your life? If so, you might be dealing with a toxic mother. So you're probably wondering, who was the mysterious author of these poems? Well, if you've stuck with me this long and you've known me very long, you might have guessed that it was me. I found the poems while I was digging through a bunch of my old writing stuff a few months ago, and I saved them because I wanted to share them with you. I did this for a couple of reasons. Number one, reading them back made me remember exactly how it felt to be the kid who wrote those poems. It offered me some insight. And number two, they sort of validated me, because if I ever doubted my experiences, reading these poems helped me really see and reconnect to those experiences for myself. It's really easy for us to develop abuse amnesia, even when you do what I do for a living. It's easy to forget how difficult it was to go through the pain that we went through. And it's super easy for us to wonder, was it really all that bad? The silver lining in all of this is kind of gave me some insight that I'm really grateful for. And that is that I've managed to give my kids something that I always intended to give them, which was the support and the encouragement that they needed to be able to see themselves as real people, to understand that they are whole, they are legitimate, and they are worth being heard. I've helped them gain the knowledge that their thoughts, their feelings, their beliefs are valid and worth having and worth discussing, the understanding that they are loved unconditionally and that they deserve to be happy and healthy and whole and safe every day of their lives, and that there is power in their own voices. So in producing this video, in sharing this information with you, I gave my inner child a voice, but I also shared with you maybe a glimpse of something that resonates for you. If you're here because you want to prevent your own kids from experiencing this pain, or you're here because you want to reparent your own inner child, then this is the bottom line on what you need to know and the value that you can take from this video today. Your inner child or your actual child should each be able to embrace certain understandings about him or herself. And these include the following. Number one, you are a real person who is whole, legitimate, and worth being heard. Number two, your thoughts, your feelings, your beliefs, your ideas, they are valid and worth discussing. Number three, you are loved unconditionally, and you deserve to be safe, happy, healthy, and whole in your life. A side note on this one, being loved unconditionally as an adult is something that you can do for yourself, but you can't really expect from anyone else. So if you are the parent of the child that you're trying to help here, love that child unconditionally. If you are the person trying to reparent his or her inner child, start by loving yourself unconditionally. And finally, number four, your voice has power. Your voice has power. And you should use your voice to express yourself with love in the most effective way that you can. Don't stuff your emotions down. Deal with them. Express them to people who will listen and people who deserve to hear them.
So if you want to change your life, if you want to stop feeling like you're dependent or like you're not good enough, you have to start with self-love. love. One of the most important things we must remember on every single level is, regardless of how you grew up, regardless of what your parents told you, regardless of what the narcissist told you, regardless of any of that stuff, here is the big important thing I need you to hear from today. You define yourself, and it's time for you to know that. It took me a long time to learn that I could define myself. It took me a long time to recognize that not only was I good enough, not only was I smart enough, pretty enough, whatever enough, but I could choose to be whoever I wanted to be. It didn't matter if it wasn't acceptable to a narcissist. It didn't matter if my mother thought it was a bad idea, or my brother thought it was a bad idea, or anyone else in my life thought it was a bad idea. Only mattered that it made me happy and that it wasn't hurting anyone else in the world. It's all about finding what works for you, what feels good to you, and what makes your soul feel alive, what makes your heart sing. The thing that gets you going in the morning, or that could if you found that thing, it's all about loving yourself. Ultimately, it's all about loving yourself, and I didn't even really know what that was until I managed to do it. So I want you to start today, right now, by dropping all of that old junk, all of those old perceptions, those voices in the back of your head that are telling you you're not good enough. That's not even you. That's somebody else's voice from the past echoing. All right, let go of that stuff. Every time you hear yourself tell yourself, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not handsome enough, pretty enough, whatever, say no, that's not true. And focus on what you really do want. Focus on what you deserve. Focus on loving yourself and treating yourself in the same way that you would treat someone you love. Your child, your niece, your nephew, the kid you mentored in high school, whatever. Whoever you would be kind to, treat yourself just like that. If you can imagine your child coming to you, let's say if you had a child, and your child saying to you, hey, mom or dad, this is exactly what I'm going through. And they explain to you exactly what you're dealing with in this moment. What would you advise them? Let's say you're going through a relationship with a narcissist and they're mentally, verbally, and otherwise abusing you. What would you say if your child came to you and said, hey, I'm being treated this way by this person who I love? What would you say to your child? Would you tell them, oh, just stick it out and stay, you're not worth it? Of course not. You would tell them to get their stuff together and get out of there and do what they need to do because they deserve better. Listen, you deserve better too. Please don't forget, you deserve better.
This brings me to the question of the day. And the question of the day is,
do you feel like you might be the child of a narcissist, the adult child of a narcissist? Do you think you might have been raised by or otherwise influenced by a narcissist in your childhood?
Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comment section below. And let's talk about it. So I just want to tell you, there's a free quiz over at queenbeing.com. I'll put the link in the description below. For those of you who aren't sure if you're dealing with a toxic mother, so go ahead and hit that link in the description if you want to and take that quiz. It's free. All you have to do is take it, and it'll direct you to resources that might help you as well.